Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church and on Facebook at facebook.com/abundantassembly. And now, on to this week's message. So have any of you ever noticed that that sometimes words that rhyme are actually very related to one another? One of those combinations is prayer and bear. And just bear with me for a second here. Prayer and bear. And in fact, one analyst from the Wall Street Journal thinks that he has figured out why it is that prayer and bear seem to go so well together. And what he did is he tracked at the big Bible publishing giant Thomas Nelson, and he tracked him through both bull markets and bear markets. And what he found is that in good times, people play. But in the bad times, in the hard times, people pray. He found that when life's a bear, we enter into prayer. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that it seems like when everything is fine, prayer's kind of on the back burner? Right? When everything is good, you kind of go, well, you know, yeah, I missed my time with God today, but I'll just say a quick prayer in the car on the way to work, and we'll be good, you know? But when things are bad, my goodness, I mean, you're in there, you're just praying so hard, you're down on your knees, you're crying out to God, or some people, you know, they don't even believe in God, and all of a sudden, times are tough, and they're down on their knees, and they're going, see, God, this is why I don't follow you, right? But have you ever wondered to yourself, why is it only the bad times that we go to God in prayer? Why is it that we are so much more likely when we're going through hardship to pray? I mean, after all, if we're believers in Jesus Christ, we know we're commanded to pray, right? Like there's no one here that thinks that, well, you know, prayer was for back then, but God doesn't want us praying now. There's nobody that thinks that, right? If so, we're going to have a conversation after service, and I'll show you some verses that can kind of help you understand that, no, this is something for you to do. We're told it's important. We are given examples that it's important. One of the amazing things with prayer is we wonder, how is it that we can bring what we want before an all-powerful God and have him listen? Why does prayer work? Well, let me share with you one reason why prayer works. It's not because it necessarily changes God's mind, but it changes us. Okay? When we pray, we come before God and he changes us, and all of a sudden our will and our desire is aligned with his, and we get on board with his purpose. And we become partnered with him. Furthermore, I want you to understand that God can do whatever he wants. Like, nobody's debating that. God is in control. You saying a prayer isn't going to suddenly make God go, you know what, I was going to do the exact opposite, but now that you're praying, sure. I mean, maybe sometimes we see that with Moses, right? I'm going to wipe them all out and start over with you. No, please don't do that. Okay, fine, you know. But God can do whatever you want. He created the world, and we didn't have any input in that. You know, but what we do see throughout Scripture, throughout the Bible, God's Word written down for us, is that the Holy Spirit moves in response to prayer. Okay, when people pray, things happen. Powerful things happen. And when I look around our community, what I think to myself is that something needs to happen. You may not be aware of it, but around you, wherever you live, whether you're in Calgary or you're in Cowley or Lunbrook or you're in town here or further away or on the reserve, wherever you are, there are people all around you who are homeless, people who are hungry, people who struggle with drug and alcohol addiction or with sex addiction or who are being abused or abusing others or who are struggling with the repercussions of a life of abuse. There are things going on in our community around us. Hopelessness, as people without Jesus are living their lives the way that they see fit and hurting others. And as people that don't have the hope and peace and joy of Jesus Christ in their lives are suffering all these different things. And let me tell you, I hope that your heart breaks for these people. Because God's heart breaks for these people. And can I share with you this morning? They need Jesus. And they need Jesus' followers to come alongside them and support them and help them. You may wonder why our church is here. And some people have said, well, you know, the church, we show up to church because that's where God's presence is. And when we come to church, it's this marvelous thing because we can experience God. That's not the way that it is. Okay, we don't need a building. We don't need all of us together to experience God. But what we do see in the Bible is that we are commanded to come together. We're commanded to worship God together, to support one another, to minister and train and serve one another. Why? So that we can go out into the world and we can be a witness. So that we can reach the unchurched as we disciple one another to be like Jesus. So the world out there needs our help. It needs Jesus' help. But what are we going to do about it? Some of us, our initial reaction is that, well, the church should create some kind of program. And, you know, we can just get people to come to the church because everybody's interested in church. That should be funny because even Christians skip church nowadays, right? There's nothing. Okay. We're going to wake you up eventually. Lord, help us all. Amen. All right. Yes. Where was I? But it's not a program that we need. Okay. And so we might think, well, then, you know, Pastor, you've been telling us that we need to get out and we need to meet our neighbors. So maybe we need to just double down on that. And if that's what you, that's great. That's, we're actually going to be talking about doing that at the end of this month. We're going to be looking again at our mission and really pushing forward on how can we reach people and how can we disciple each other and others in order to be stronger believers in Jesus so that we can make an impact on our community. But if we jump right to that, there's something that we're missing. If we jump straight to, well, the world needs Jesus, and so we're just going to go right now, then there's a problem. See, if you reach out before reaching up, you're not going to be overly effective. Let me say that again. Reaching out before reaching up isn't effective. Okay, now, don't get me wrong. You may go out and you may see some fruit. And you may say, well, I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. I didn't pray at all. I just went out there and I talked about Jesus to this person and they were just ready and bam, like Holy Spirit right there. That's great. But I think that you got lucky. If you go forward, but you haven't actually sought Jesus, if you go forward, but you're not actually in a place where you're sensitive to the Spirit's leading and to what Jesus is saying to you, then there can be problems that are created there. And we can just become a bowl in a china shop where we knock everything down around us. And, you know, if one or two things happen to land the right way, we call that success. That's not success. But prayer. See, we must be a praying people. We must pray at home. We must pray together. We must be awash in prayer. Really, here's the bottom line that I want you to take home with you today. We in the Spirit work together when we pray together. If you're taking notes, just write that down in the YouVersion app there. If you're following along in that, type it down in there. Save the note. It's just, we in the Spirit work together when we pray together. I want you to take a look with me at the example of the apostles and the early Christians. We're going to turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 12 today. This is what we read. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. Pray with me, will you? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to talk about prayer, to talk about reaching our community through prayer. And so, Lord, today just begin to stir something in our hearts, Lord. As we sang today and as Josie pointed out during our testimony time, Lord, just let your consuming fire fill this place and consume us, Lord. Bring us to our knees before you and let us remember that you are holy. Let us fall before the awesome power of our God. And let us take that with us into the world, Lord Jesus. And so today as I speak, God, I ask that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm to say and that you'll make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. See, this thing that we read here, it's just one of many times that we see the followers of Jesus meeting together to pray. It's just one of many times. So this isn't a one-off thing. We don't look at the times that they got together to pray and we say, well, those were special circumstances. Okay, they got together a lot. And guess what we see happening when they do? We see Jesus respond. We see the Holy Spirit of God revealing his power. Amazing things happen when we pray. And so what I want to do today is I want to invite you into partnering with the Holy Spirit by developing a deep and vibrant prayer life. This is something that I struggle with myself. I find it way easier to spend 3 hours reading the Bible than I do to spend 10 minutes praying. Yet it's so very important that we spend time in prayer, that we talk to God. And so I want to invite you in partnering with the Holy Spirit by developing a deep prayer life, because we in the Spirit work together when we pray together. And here's what you're going to see as you begin praying. Number one, Jesus responds when you pray regularly. Jesus responds when you pray regularly. We read there, they were constantly united in prayer. Now, I don't know what your understanding of the English language is, but when I read the word constantly, I think that's something near regularly or often or frequently or constantly, right? They were constantly united in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Apostle Paul writes, pray what? Constantly. That's what he says in the Lexham English Bible. They translate it, pray constantly. You're probably more familiar with it as pray without ceasing. Are you getting my point here? Jesus responds when you pray regularly. Pray constantly. See, it's hard to maintain a relationship with someone when you don't talk to them. Really hard. If you talk to a relationship counselor about what things they notice when a relationship is in trouble, they're going to tell you communication. In fact, the first thing a relationship counselor will probably work on with you if you go into that counselor, before they even assess the situation, is communication. How assertive are you? Do you know how to express your desires and your needs to your partner? Can you communicate? Do you guys spend time sitting down and actually talking? Because you see, out of a relationship will come the desire to communicate, but sometimes that communication breaks down. And as the communication breaks down, what it does is it damages the relationship. And the same thing happens when we follow Jesus Christ. See, I don't agree with the people that say that Christianity isn't a religion, it's a relationship. But here's where I think that everything comes together. Christianity is a religion. If you don't believe me, look it up in the dictionary. We worship a higher power. That's the definition of religion. It's a religion. However, Christianity, we do not get our salvation. We are not saved because we have communion together. We're not saved because we show up to church on Sunday or because we pray or anything like this. We're saved because of what? Because of Jesus. And we're saved when we have a relationship with God through Christ. Okay. But out of that relationship comes what? The religion. Out of that relationship comes the things that we do. We do for Christ not to be saved, but we do for Christ because he's already done. But when we stop talking to Jesus, that relationship begins to weaken. Have you ever noticed that those people that maybe you don't talk to that much, their voice starts to fade in your mind. You know, when you're in connection with someone constantly, like, you can just think about them saying something, and you can hear their voice, exactly how they'd say it, and they call you, and you know exactly who it is that's calling you from across a crowded room, but if you haven't been communicating, if you haven't been together for a long time, what happens? It gets a little harder to do that, doesn't it? It all begins to fade away. And so sometimes I think that we complain that we can't discern the Holy Spirit's voice in our hearts. But maybe we need to ask ourselves, how's our relationship? How's our communication with Christ going? Do we actually know his voice to be able to hear him? Now, I get that maybe some of you guys, you're like, oh, relationship stuff again. Come on. I'm a macho man. Come on. So let me put this in other terms. It's difficult to work together on the mission that God has given us if we never listen to the command that the commander gives us. So if you're a soldier and you in an army, and all the platoons of your army, they say, you know, we don't need to check in with our commanding officer. We're just going to go ahead. We see that there's something that needs to be done. So I'm going to go this way. You go and you do your thing, and we're just all in our own time, whenever we feel like it's the right time, we're just going to go and we're going to attack that place. What do you think is going to happen to that army? It's going to fail. It's not going to be all that effective, because it's when you work together, it's when you get the commands, and the commander says, okay, we've looked over the situation, our scouts are back. Now, I get it, you know, intelligence can sometimes be unintelligent, but just bear with me here. Everything has come together, and this is the game plan, and so at such and such a time, synchronize your watches, and we're going to go. And you guys are going to go here, you guys are going to go here, and we're going to take that place. That's when it works. That's when it works. That's why it's important to communicate regularly, because if you rarely communicate, how effective do you plan on being? See, we in the Spirit work together when we pray together, when we communicate with the Spirit. But here's something else I want to point out. As we talk about communicating regularly, don't give up. I think sometimes we say, well, you know, I tried, I came to God, and I prayed, and it didn't work. So I'm done. This is a waste of my time. I don't know why I was doing it. But Jesus says, don't give up. Luke 18, he tells a story saying, pray and never give up. Do not give up. He relates it to a woman who needs justice. And so she goes to the judge of the city, and she just constantly knocks on the door and beats on it and says, give me justice. And finally, the judge is like, listen, I don't really care about you, but you're so annoying. Fine. And he says, if an unrighteous judge can be like that and just say, you know what, if you're not going to give up, I'm going to give you what you want, how much more will our good and just God respond to our prayer if we don't give up? Elsewhere, he talks about keeping asking and keeping on seeking and knocking. It's like a bratty little kid that wants something so much, they just nag their parents and nag them and nag them. And as a parent, you know that you should get them in trouble, but maybe you're in the middle of Walmart in Edmonton and you're like, somebody's going to take away my kid if I do what I know I need to do. And so you can interpret that however you want. And so finally, you're just like, but you know what? Yeah. You have it. Fine. There you go. Stop asking me. Don't give up. But keep on asking and keep on knocking and seek. Keep your eyes open. Where is the Spirit at work here? What openings has he given me? How can I do my part in this? But never give up. Jesus responds when you pray regularly. Jesus also responds when you pray expectantly. Jesus responds when you pray expectantly. This is what I mean by that. Do you truly believe that God can and will do what you are bringing to him in prayer? Oh, Pastor Stephen, of course I do. Really? How many of us, we give the token prayer, right? Like, I'm about to go and handle this myself, but just in case, so I have God's blessing on me, I'm going to say, God, please help me, and move on. Or, you know, I'm guilty of this sometimes too. I believe that God answers prayer. But, you know, sometimes you get asked to pray for something and you're like, God's not going to do anything with that. Like honestly, your dog has been dead for 6 months. He's not coming back from the dead. Sorry to break it to you. Like, he could. I don't think he's going to. But we come to these places and we think that he can do it, but we're like, he probably won't. But we got to pray expectantly. We got to pray expecting that God is going to do it. If God's just like a contingency and we've got a whole bunch of other things in place just in case he ignores us, well, he's just going to let you do it yourself. Right? Listen to what James writes about this. He says in James chapter 1, "But let him ask in faith without doubting. For the doubter is like the surging sea driven and tossed by the wind. And that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord." What's he talking about there? When you come, he's specifically talking about wisdom. When you come before God and you're asking for wisdom, don't pray for wisdom and go, okay, now we're just going to go over here and we're going to figure this situation out without God because, you know, until he talks to me, I got to deal with this. And then, oh man, why isn't this going well? God, will you help me, please? Like, come on. And he's obviously not going to help me. So I guess I'll go over here and I'll try this now. And so we go back and forth. And of course, we're not getting anything from God because we don't actually think that he's going to give it to us. So do you believe that God can and will do what you're praying for? And if you don't, then listen, either stop praying or actually start having some faith. Going along with that, do you believe what you're praying is his will? Do you believe that it's his will? Because let me tell you, if you're like, you know what, God, I've been a really good boy, and so this year for Christmas, I would really appreciate a red Ferrari. Let's examine that for a second. Is it really his will? Is this really what he's laid on your heart to pray for? Like, if it's, the Bible says, whatever we ask, according to his will, it will be given to us. It's one of the reasons why it's important to pray regularly, so that we know what his will is. Right? And so we need to believe that he can and will do what we are praying for, but we also have to believe that we're praying according to his will. And listen, if you're praying according to his will, then pray expectantly. Because if it's his will, it's going to happen. It may not happen in the way you think, but it's going to happen. We in the Spirit work together when we pray together. See, Jesus responds when you pray regularly. Jesus responds when you pray expectantly. And Jesus also responds when we pray together. Jesus responds when we pray together. See, praying alone is necessary. I mean, he says, go off in a closet by yourself, be humble and pray. Right? Jesus would go off by himself alone to pray. So there's no doubt that praying alone is a good thing. At the same time, though, I truly believe that praying together is necessary. We must join together and pray. You see, while Jesus can work powerfully whenever and wherever he wishes, he shows us that he responds when we pray together. You can look at the early Christians, and you see that as they were selecting a new apostle, what did they do first? They got together and they prayed. As Pentecost happened, right? The Holy Spirit comes down powerfully on 120 believers. 3,000 people are saved after a Spirit-inspired message that Peter, the guy who just blows your mind that he could do this, stands up and gives an impromptu, Spirit-empowered, Spirit-led sermon to this massive group of Jewish people. And you see this huge response. What were they doing? They were together in the upper room praying and seeking God. In Acts chapter 2, when we see that the church was growing daily, that their numbers were being added to constantly, what were they doing? They were meeting together, they were listening to the teaching of the apostles, and they were devoted to the what? The prayers. They were praying together. Or how about this? After some of the apostles, they were arrested and they were warned not to share their faith anymore. And so they went back to the whole group of them and they said, listen, guys, we need to pray. We need to pray for boldness right now that we're going to go and do what God wants. And so what did they do? They prayed together, and then we're told that the building was shaken again. The Spirit fell on them again and filled them a second time, and that they were filled with the boldness of the Holy Spirit to go forth and do ministry. Right? But praying together. A more modern example, yet still a little bit older. 1858, the Fulton Street prayer meeting sparked a revival in America. Guess how many people that began with? There were 6 people meeting together every week to pray. Within 6 months, there were 10,000 businessmen gathered around New York City praying together. And within 2 years, 1 million people had given their lives to Jesus. Okay, the Spirit shows up when we pray together. God uses our prayers. We and the Spirit work together when we pray together. Now, you may get what I'm getting at here. We got to pray together. The pastor, A.T. Pearson, said, "There has never been a revival in any country that has not begun in united prayer, and no revival has ever continued beyond the duration of those prayer meetings." Do you catch the significance of that? We need to be a praying people. We and the Spirit work together when we pray together. Are any of you familiar with the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir? Right, this choir that has a worldwide influence, and yet their pastor, Jim Cimbala, I believe is his name, he writes in this book about the beginnings of the Brooklyn Tabernacle and the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, and he talks about this little church that was on its last legs. They didn't have money to really pay a pastor. In fact, one of the ushers, they were quite certain, was stealing from the offering, because the envelopes, the amount that was marked on the envelopes didn't match up with the amount they were depositing into the bank. And so they went on like this, and over time, Pastor Cimbala, a man who had never been to Bible school, no formal training, he felt so strongly in his heart that he needed to bring his church to a place of prayer. They needed to pray together. And so he told his church, "Listen, Sunday morning is great, but on Sunday morning, that doesn't tell you about the health of your church. It's the Tuesday night prayer meeting," he said, "that shows you how dedicated to a relationship with Jesus Christ people are. Well, so they began to meet on Tuesdays, and they began to pray and pray and pray. And that prayer meeting grew, and they saw great things happen. And people would suddenly, these drug addicts and prostitutes would come, and they would come to Jesus and be transformed. Their lives would be transformed. And people were joining this choir. And soon the choir was getting gigs where they were singing in massive auditoriums. And the church just began to grow and grow and grow. This little rundown church where nobody wanted to go, in a bad area of town where everyone was like, if you want church people to come to your church, you got to move your church. And instead, God said, pray together. And he showed up and he changed things. And let me tell you, the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir has reached so many lives, and that church has done so much and is filled with so many people who are dedicated to God, ministering to the hurting. It's phenomenal. Prayer works. Prayer works. And here in our community, I believe that we need to pray. We need to pray. Just close your eyes and imagine with me what Pincher Creek could look like if we began to pray. And if as we began to pray together, the Holy Spirit began to move in our lives and in our church, and to go forward through us and work ahead of us in the lives of the people in our community. Imagine the impact as people from every walk of life, hurting and broken people, found Jesus and came to understand that church isn't a place where perfect people go, but that it's a hospital for the hurting. It's a place where we care for those that are broken inside, because we're all broken inside, and so we come before the healing presence of the one true God to be healed. Imagine that place. Imagine people giving their lives to Jesus because they've experienced the power of the Holy Spirit and they've experienced Christ's love through you and through so many other people. Imagine a government that makes policies based on the leading of the Holy Spirit in their life. Dream of this thing and understand that it's something that is possible. It's something that the Holy Spirit can do, but we need to pray together. We need to get on board with what God is doing and ask Him how He wants us to proceed. We in the Spirit work together when we pray together. So here's what I want you to do this week. Number one, be sure that you are talking to God every day. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe you're a keener and you want to do 2 hours. Fine, do that. Talk to Him a little bit every day. And I know that there's maybe a mother here and you're thinking, I don't get 5 minutes alone to myself to just go to the bathroom. So how on earth am I supposed to actually pray? And so I just want to encourage you that all of us, no matter how busy we are, we have those jobs where your brain is basically off, right? We do those things where you don't actually have to really think about much. So start praying during those times. In that 30-second span that you get where things are quiet, pray. But spend time regularly, daily, talking to God. And number two, begin to regularly participate in group prayer. Now, here is where I'm going to plug something. For October and November, Thursday evenings at 8 p.m., we're meeting here to pray. Why October and November? Here's the reason why, because I know that some people get scared off when we say we're having a prayer meeting from now until forever, and so come, and we're going to take attendance and check off your name, and if you're not there by 10-2, we're going to phone you up and track you down, and nobody will come. And so we're going to start with just this 2-month period here, and then when things get busy for Christmas, we'll go and we'll continue to pray together when we can, but we're going to take a little bit of time and let you guys kind of go, that was good. I want to do that again. And we're going to come together and we'll start doing things regularly. But I want you to begin to come and pray together. This is important. Oh, but Pastor Steve and I have kids and so I can't come. Well, here's a great idea. If there's two of you, if it's a husband and a wife, just rotate weeks, right? If it's one of you, bring your kids. Let them run around a little bit. Let them see what it is to pray. And if they're bored, that's fine. A little bit of boredness never killed anybody, and you can bring a couple blankets and let them sleep on the back row of the chairs there, and they'll be good. But come out and pray with us. Pray with us. I'm going to say it again. Pray with us. Because I truly want to see Pincher Creek changed for Jesus Christ. And I truly believe, and so many people have spoken words over this church saying things are going to happen. So many people have spoken into this community and said something is on the cusp of happening, and it's not going to be an easy road, and there's going to be pushback from different spiritualities as the Spirit begins to move through us, but things are going to happen. But listen, friends, if we want to be a part of what God is doing, then we need to pray. We need to pray. And so what better way to close this message than to pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity that you give us to speak to you. That you're not a God who's aloof, but that you're a God who cares, that wants to hear from us. That is present in every place, in every situation, and never far away. I thank you that even though sometimes it can seem like you're not at work, that really you're at work at all times. That life itself is sustained for the simple fact that your presence is here. Your Spirit gives life even now. And so Lord God, today as we go to our homes, as we go to our workplaces or to others' places for food, Lord Jesus, to celebrate Thanksgiving, let us give thanks, but let us also speak to you, communicate with you, and let us see our community changed for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you.
God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you, but the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes from a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so He came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master, and believing in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins, and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that His death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship. I'd love to help you with that, so if you made that decision today, please send me an email to pastor@abundantsprings.church. That's P-A-S-T-O-R at abundantsprings.church, and I'll be sure to follow up with you. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.